I love it when a plan comes together. And worship today came together. And it's coming together with the message. And so let's just get right into it. All right? If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 3, please. We need to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father again and again if we are going to overcome the shame and the guilt from that shame that we receive. Jesus had no shame. He had no guilt. He didn't have a bad past. And yet the Holy Spirit spoke over his life. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus heard it. Others heard it. So I'm just here to tell you that if Jesus needed to hear it, how much more do we need to hear that we belong to him? And we cannot overcome the shame of our sins, the guilt of our past, without hearing his voice, his word spoken to us. And so we need to hear the written word, but we need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit as well. Now, this morning I want to read to you out of Psalm 139. And again, if you've been here for any length of time, you know this is one of my favorite set of scriptures, but I want to read this, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but it's going to start in verse 13. I want to read it in the Passion Translation, and it'll come up. And just let this soak in, okay? This is who you are, all right? Psalm 139, verse 13, the Passion Translation. You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. Isn't that awesome? I challenge you to put that on your mirror so that when you're getting ready in the morning and you're putting your makeup on and you're brushing your teeth and fixing your hair, you can say this. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it, how thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. All right, you ready? Verse 16, try this one on. This is so beautiful. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Isn't that awesome? You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I had even seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you are thinking about me, how precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires towards me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. When I awake each morning, you're still with me. When we read this, we have to come to the understanding, come to the place where we realize that we were made on purpose. We're not here by accident. We're not a surprise to God. You know, he doesn't wake up, but so I can't use that analogy. He woke up and boom, you're there. But I guess the thing I could do is maybe he turns around and all of a sudden you're there and he says, oh, where'd you come from? I wasn't expecting you. That's not how he is. He has a plan and he has a purpose for our lives. And he knows what it is. Even before we were able to walk it, he knew it. Even before our parents know what the plan, that God has a plan for it, God has a plan for us. And we need to understand that. We are here on purpose, which means that we have a purpose. We need to get this down in our spirit, not every once in a while, but daily, even until we start believing it and we live like we believe it. God's written word, the Bible, is so important for us to know, but hearing His voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, is what we need to hear as well. We've looked in the past recently that we are the apple of His eye. How awesome is that? And that God has chosen us, and we see His desire to use us in spite of our sins and failures and weaknesses. And we even sang about all of that this morning. God isn't afraid of our past. He's not afraid of our weaknesses. He's not afraid of our failures. And so we need to have the same mindset and believe that He loves us so much and desires to use us, and that He can and will use us if we will give ourselves to Him. There is not one person in the Bible that God used that didn't have a storied, faulty, sinful past with skeletons in their closets. Every one of us has sinned. We've made mistakes and we've had weaknesses to rise above. And yet we act like we have to be perfect for God to use us. That's a lie from the enemy, and yet we've believed it. In Romans chapter 3, this is probably a familiar scripture to us, but let me read it and put it in this context. Romans 3:21, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." Okay, so He's declaring that we are made righteous, not by our own doing, but simply by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, that we are declared righteous. And that needs to be settled in our hearts and minds as well. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. And then He goes on and He says, "For there is no distinction," and in verse 23, "for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." In other words, He's saying everybody is messed up. Everybody has skeletons. Everybody has issues. There's no exceptions across humanity. This is how we are. And then verse 24, "and are justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ." And so Paul is letting us know about the righteousness of God offered to us by faith in Jesus Christ. And it's to everybody. It's to all. All those who are sinful. And He's saying there's no distinction because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. So we all have to come to grips with this truth that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, but God still loves us and He still chose us. He still has a plan for us. He still has a purpose for us. In light of the fact that we're sinners, that we failed, that we carry around this baggage, yet God still loves us and He still desires to use us and fulfill His plans and purposes through us. If you want to turn with me to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. This is a scripture that most Christians know. And as I was preparing for this message, you know, I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about the words of Jeremiah, and so it's in here, but let me just read it for you. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Isn't that awesome? The question is, do you believe it for your life? Now, there's something that I've never seen in here, and I've checked other translations. They don't use this word, but in the ESV, they use this. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness." And over about a year ago, when I was praying for people, God started speaking to me about praying for their wholeness, especially when you're praying for healing. And to pray for the whole, and then I see this and I'm like, man, that is awesome. I'm doing something according to Scripture and don't even know it. But I'm listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, "And not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Can I put this in context? Because I think we need to. Jeremiah is writing to the Israelites who are being held captive by Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And this chapter in particular is the letter that he wrote to them because there were some false prophets who were saying that your captivity is only going to be about 2 or 3 years and then God's going to release you. And Jeremiah writes to them and he says, first of all, no, it's not 2 or 3 years. He said, it's going to be 70 years that you're going to be in captivity, that you're going to be in Babylon. And then he gives them instructions as to what they're supposed to do while they're in captivity. And here's what he tells them to do. And you can read this on your own. I don't have time this morning. But he tells them, I want you to continue to give your sons and daughters in marriage, continue to grow, continue to establish families, continue to grow the kingdom of the Israelites. You continue to do that. He says all of that. He says, build homes for yourself and make them nice. Plant vineyards, make sure you take care of them. Plant gardens, make sure you take care of them. He says all of that. And then he says this in verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, if you're following along with my notes, you can forget them now. We're not going to proceed with those notes any longer. But let me read verse 11 again. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Sounds to me like this is Psalm 139, when he's creating us and he's telling us how he creates us and that he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. That we're not here by accident, that God intended for us to be here because he has something for us to do. He has a purpose for us. And then verse 12, read this with me. "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you." Everybody say, "I have driven you." "Declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." Now they're in exile because they're not obeying the voice of the Lord. And so now they're in captivity. They're in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And so he tells them, this is how I want you to live while you're in captivity. Keep marrying, keep having children, keep going on, keep living, even though you're in captivity, because I have a plan and a purpose for you. Verse 11. And he wants them to get it down in their heart, in their spirit, man. He wants them to know that God still has a plan and a purpose for them, even though life isn't going well for them. Even though they've disobeyed. Even though they're in captivity. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." He needed to get that in them because of this. Verse 12 starts off with the word "then." And so I'm here to tell you this morning that if you don't know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, if you don't understand that he created you, that he made you, you will never come to that moment that says, "then." I remember when I was getting ready to go to Virginia Tech for my junior year. just finished my freshman and sophomore year at the community college in Virginia Beach. And I'm going to room with a guy that I knew from high school. But our roommate is somebody that I've never met, went to the same high school as we did, but I never knew him. And so we were going to a party to meet him. Now, I had gotten saved in my senior year of high school. And, you know, was trying to walk with the Lord. And I can remember thinking before I went to this party, I'm not sure what my purpose is in life. I had just finished 2 years at community college, was going on to Virginia Tech, knew what I wanted to do there, but at least I thought I did. But I'm like, I know I'm a born-again believer. I'm a Christian. I know I'm growing in my faith, but I feel like I'm lost. I don't feel like there's a plan and a purpose for me. And so I go to the party to meet this guy. And I meet him, but I meet all of our other, or most of our other classmates that used to party hardy. And I didn't party hardy. I went to parties, but I didn't drink at that moment. So I would go just to be with people and be the designated driver. And so I go to this party, and it's outdoors. It's at somebody's house. And the first thing that I see is our old quarterback. He was a total jock in high school. Good looking, had all the women and everything. And 2 years out of high school, he is like humongous. And he's bald. And I'm thinking to myself, those poor ladies that thought he was so good looking. I mean, it was like, and I'm shocked. I mean, my jaw probably dropped open when I saw him. And I'm looking at him. And then I'm walking around and I'm mingling with all these other people. And here's what I knew. I knew I was going to Virginia Tech in the fall. That's about all I knew about my life. And I go and I walk and I mingle with these people and I realize something. They are completely lost. They don't, most of them, and at least the ones that I talked to, did not know God. They did not have a relationship with God. And therefore, they did not know that they were created in the likeness and image of God. They didn't know that God had formed them intricately, specifically in their mother's womb for a plan and a purpose that God had for their lives. And I remember thinking, God, I thought I was lost. And I share that because I remember walking away from that party, which I didn't stay very long. And I'm going to my car, and I started raising my hands, and I was wanting to walk with my eyes closed, but I had to pay attention. So I'm walking, and I literally lifted up my hands, and I said, thank you, God, for loving me, for creating me, and for giving me a plan and a purpose, even though I don't even know what it is. But I know that you love me and you have a plan for me. It was so amazing to me. But you see, if we don't know that we are created by God, made by God for Him, for the plans and purposes that He has, then we will never begin to walk in the then. Because He says, once you know this, that God has a plan and a purpose, He says, then, listen to what we'll do. Then we will call upon the Lord. We will come and pray to Him, and He will hear us. You see, if you're just here and you're just existing and you don't know that you're from God, you don't know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, then you're just going to walk around and you're just going to bounce from one thing to another, whatever you think makes you happy. You're going to be seeking the rest of your life for a plan and a purpose. You're going to be asking other people, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? What is going to happen to me when I grow old? And you're not going to know. But when you know that you're created in the likeness and image of God, that he has a plan and a purpose for you, then this is what's going to happen. God's going to place that desire in you, and then you are going to turn to him. Just as it says, and you are going to call upon him. You're going to come and pray to him, and he will hear you. You will seek him, and you will find him. Isn't that awesome? But if you don't know that you're creating it by him, you will never come to that then. You will walk around like those people at that party were walking around. They were bouncing from relationship to relationship, from one job to another job, doing all kinds of different things, not knowing that God loved them and had a plan and a purpose for their lives. Nobody told them they could be great in this world. Nobody told them that they were going to do awesome things for God, because they didn't know God. It's easy to just say, oh, I know the Lord has a plan and a purpose for my life. But it won't do you any good until you know that. Until you know it. And I just want to say this. I was 20 years old while this was taking place. Almost 20. While this was taking place. And so I want to tell you too, if you're about that age, or you're graduating from high school and you think, well, what am I going to do with my life? And you don't know. Just breathe. Keep on breathing. God will figure it out for you. He will lead you in the steps. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you. You may think you know what you want, but God may have a different plan. And so just relax and keep breathing. When I went to Virginia Tech, from the time that I was a 10th grader in high school, I knew that I was going to be an accountant. And I knew that I was going to graduate from Virginia Tech because my sister loved accounting and she was going to Virginia Tech and she was going to be an accountant. And I loved her and I wanted to be just like her. And so I knew I was going to be an accountant. She liked math. I liked math. We were two peas in a pod. She was just older than me. And then I get to Virginia Tech and things happen. And I can't explain everything right now. But let me just suffice it to say that as I'm taking my accounting classes, I'm realizing that this is not for me. And I'm praying about it because I'm thinking of changing. And so I'm praying and I'm asking God, what do you think I ought to do? And he says, look at your classes. And so I looked at my classes and I'm thinking, okay, I know what my classes are. And then he said this. He says, which ones are you doing the best in? Which one do you miss the most when you're not there? And it was very easy. I had two classes that I was taking during that semester. And they were both in management. And I'm, as God is my witness, I was getting good grades in there. I was reading everything that they told us that we had to read in those classes. And I couldn't get enough of it. I was just like, and I kept telling myself, this is me. This is how I think. This is how I live. This is how I see life through this. And God says, I would switch your major to management. I said, you are good. You are good. And I did. I think it's helped me. I don't know for sure. But I want to encourage parents, if you have young children, but even if they're old, I want to encourage you. You're the ones that need to speak into your children that they came from God. They didn't come from you and your spouse. They came from God. And God has a plan and a purpose for them. And you need to instill that in them because you want that day when then happens. Then You will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You see, if they don't know that they're from God, that they were made for a plan and a purpose, and that is for wholeness and not for evil, for a future and a hope. You see, we're talking about destiny. They need to have destiny in their life, and you have to speak it to them. I can do it on Sunday morning, but you need to do it Monday through Saturday. Because it's the destiny that we sense from God that's going to cause us to be the then. Then we will call upon him. Then we will come and pray to him. Then he will hear us. Destiny gives us hope because we're coming to a living God. And we know that he's going to lead us and guide us and direct us. Destiny moves us because it's moving us in the area, in the direction, in the way that God wants us to go, because we're calling upon him. We've had that then moment and we're seeking after him. If you'll stand with me. I've got more pages and I'll give them to you later. But I just think that we need to get this settled in our hearts and minds. We need to know that we're created by God. We're created for him. And because he created us on purpose, we have a purpose. And I'm telling you, when you understand that, you may not know what your purpose is. But God does. And he'll lead you in there. But he'll lead you when you come to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12. After you've been convinced of verse 11, then you have that verse 12 moment and you say, then I will call upon the Lord. Then I will come to him. Then I will pray to him. Then he will hear me. Then I will seek him, and I will seek him with my whole heart. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for everyone that is in this room. I thank you for everyone who is going to hear this message. I pray that you would pour out your spirit upon us, that we would have our eyes opened up to the truth that you, God, are our Father first. Doesn't matter how we got here, we just know that you made us, that you planned for us, that you have a purpose for us, and because of that, we have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And Father, I thank you that when we come to grips with that, when the Holy Spirit enlightens us to that truth, then we will call upon you. We will come and pray to you, and you will hear us. And we will seek you and we will find you. Holy Spirit, speak to us this week. Speak to us and get it clear in our hearts and in our minds so that we can say there was a then moment in our lives as well. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. All right, go have that moment and then go do great things for God.